every one of my children when they were growing up, every one of them, some a little more than others, but every one of them, I wondered if they were going to make it. Come on now. I had concerns, and every one of them, I tried to change them. I said, I tried to change them. I said, I tried to change them. Well, you know, there's an interesting thing about God. He works, but he waits till we're done. Amen? And, but really and truly, all things are possible with God. But we do have to get out of God's way, and we have to learn that our prayers are much more valuable than our works of the flesh. Can I tell you a secret? You cannot ever make somebody else love God. No. I don't care how much you want to. The very best thing that you can do is pray and simply be a great example. Live your life in such a way where your kids and your spouse or your mom and dad or whoever you're concerned about, where they see something in you that they want. And just pray. I don't know why we think that, well, I've done everything else I know to do, I guess I'll pray. I mean, that's just the silliest statement. That should always be our first line of defense. So our two boys really run all the logistical part of the ministry. I did that for a lot of years, but not anymore, thank God. I just preach and teach and write and pray and do interviews and do my television and get to deal with the stuff that I'm the most gifted for. And but our oldest son, David, my gosh, I thought that boy would kill me. I mean, I didn't know what the problem was then. Now I look back and I wish I would have known then what I know now. We all say that, but we can't, you know. And I struggled with him really mainly because he was just like me. And I didn't know that, and we were both real strong-willed. And I swear, from the time he was in his crib, I could see him looking through those little bars thinking, how can I take over the world? And so, you know, we think having a strong-willed child is the worst thing out there, but then you also get one that is like undisciplined and kind of lazy and don't care about nothing and everything's okay. And so you bounce back and forth between just trying to change everybody in your family. I had one that was a perfectionist, one that's a phlegmatic, two that are type A cholerics, and so like everybody else, you just have fun. And then Dave is just okay with whatever. You know, he's just like, Dave's just good. I always say there's about three areas that you don't want to mess with him with, but if you can handle that, all the rest of it's pretty good. We don't bother his golf. That's like, my daughter got him a sign the other day that said, I gave up golf once and it was the most terrifying weekend of my life. Well, now that boy that I thought would drive me crazy runs our world missions, and we have works all over the world. And matter of fact, I got a text from him this morning, and it had the temperature gauge on it where he's at in India. And he said, we have a foreign director over there that's worked for us for 19 years that runs our office in India. His name is Scott. And he said, I'm going to Scott's son's graduation today, and here's the temperature. Where he's at today, it's 107. Amen. So he's worked very hard and made a lot of sacrifices. But I'll tell you, I remember the day that I told God, I cannot do this anymore. I just cannot do this anymore. I was going to the office to tell him that he could not work for me because it was just too hard. We just could not get along. Now I want you to listen. And God whispered in my heart, don't give up on David. And I think somebody here needs to hear that today. Whatever the name of your child is, or your spouse, or your whoever it is, don't give up on them. Just because you can't do anything certainly doesn't mean that God can't do anything. Amen? What if I would have given up on him? What if God would have given up on you? What if God would have given up on me? You know, we give up on people a lot quicker than God gives up on us. He doesn't plan to give up on you. I don't care how long it takes and how hard you are to deal with, God is never going to give up on you. Amen? And then one of my daughters, who actually is here this weekend, she filled in for somebody else, and she out at the resource tables, and oh my gosh, she was so just disorganized and just so not like me. I was neat and everything had to have a place. And how many of you remember those conversations? If you are going to live in my house. Yeah, those conversations with your kids, you know. And then how many of them just roll their eyes back in their head? It's like, you can tell they're thinking, I've heard this a million times, you know. And now that girl has 4 children of her own, and she works for me part-time, assisting me in different things, and she gave herself a new title recently. She said, I finally got myself a title. She said, I'm the momager. She manages mom. And believe me, at this point in my life, I need all the help that I can get. Amen. And then my youngest son was so undisciplined. I mean, I was happier when he got through school than he was. I was just like, oh my gosh, I felt like I had graduated, because I honestly didn't know if he was going to make it. I mean, I really didn't. And I mean, there was no conversation at all, not even a hint of going to college. I was not about to go through that another 4 years. And so I would have just, I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen to him. I thought I might have to keep him the rest of my life. And now it's interesting, because he didn't do well with books. But I'm telling you, the guy is a genius when it comes to technology, and God's given him a gift of wisdom. And so he manages all of our media and stateside stuff. And so let me just tell you something. Do not give up on your kids. Amen? And then my other girl is precious too. She's got 2 twin daughters, and she's starting to do some teaching and ministers every chance that she gets. And so I want to pray for your children today, and anybody in your family that you love, that you're concerned about. But it's not going to do me one bit of good to pray if you're not going to get into agreement with God that you cannot change them. Here's a statement I heard recently that I think is worth repeating here today. We have to learn to value people as they are, not the way we would like them to be. Amen. Boy, it's so easy to look at everybody's flaws and their weaknesses and the things about them that irritate us. But you know what? Every single one of us has probably got more junk in our life than the people that we judge and criticize. And so God's merciful with us. We can be merciful too. Okay? So I'm going to pray for your kids and your loved ones. You going to agree with me? All right. Why don't you stand up? You need the exercise anyway, I'm sure, so. Father, I have no idea how many children are represented in this room today, but many, many, many I know. And maybe there's even people here today that don't have children yet, but they're going to someday, and hearing this message now can keep them out of trouble later. And so I pray for everybody's loved ones, anybody they're concerned about, no matter who it is. And if they're not born again, then we pray that you would send the perfect laborer into their path and speak a word in due season to them, and that you would bring them to a place of humility where they will receive you and be very gracious and grateful to have you in their lives. And I pray for people that are Christians, they claim to be Christians, but they're really not walking the walk, and they just really need to get more committed to what you're asking them to do. We pray for every single person that needs you in any way, and we thank you, Lord, for working in their life and dealing with them. And I just pray that their sin would just begin to be so troubling to them that there's no way that they can be happy in their sinful lifestyles, and that they're going to want you with all of their heart. And we know that you will meet them right where they're at and help them get to where you want them to be. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I get to have a relationship with him not because of anything I've done or who I am, but because of who he is.
I'm starting to experience all the things he died for.
It's something really that you feel, and it's in your heart, and when you do, it's amazing.
Begin your new way of living with this free book from Joyce Meyer Ministries and gain confidence and understanding of your new life in Christ. Simply call or visit us online. It's also available as a digital download.
Thank you, Father, for the word today and this final closing session. And I pray, Lord, that you would always help us remember that your power is available to us. All we need to do is step into it, tap into it, release it, believe in it. And today, as we approach this final session, I pray that you would help us get everything you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm going to talk about interrupting Satan's plan. You know, the devil has a plan, but we have a surefire, simple way to interrupt his plan if we're just diligent in using it. Let's go to Matthew 16. Now, for those of you who haven't been here yet, let's see, how many are here? This is your first session. Okay. Well, we're certainly glad you joined us this morning, and I'm talking this weekend about God's power, how to release God's power in your life. And it's available to us. The Bible says, behold, I've given you power and authority over all the power the enemy possesses. He has power, but we have power and authority. That's good news, you see. He's got power, but no matter how much power you have, if you don't have the authority to use it, it doesn't do you much good. So we've got power and authority. God's power is amazing. Paul prayed for the church that they would know and understand the power that was available to them through Christ. I just want to say again, you do not have to live a weak, wimpy, pitiful, pathetic, discouraged, downtrodden, barely get by life. You know, I believe that every day of our life, we can have victory over anything the enemy tries to bring against us if we stay alert and active. We don't want to be deceived by Satan, and he is the master of deception and the father of lies. So we need to stay more alert, more aggressive, more awake, be ready to resist him and come against him, and know who we are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that who you are in Christ is a different thing than what you do? We really need to be able to separate what I call our who and our do. I don't do everything right, but I'm still a child of God. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm growing. God sees your heart. He's not mad at you. God is not mad at you. Amen. He loves you, and he wants to help you. All you need to do is ask him. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, you're a rock. And on this rock, he was talking about the rock of Peter's faith, if you read previous verses. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love that. Jesus said, I will have my way. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But God does work through people. It seems like no matter how bad things get in the world, God always has a remnant of people somewhere that will pray, somewhere that will take action, somewhere there's a group of people that will stay hooked into God, that will believe God, and God works through those people. And then he said to Peter, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And you know, keys represent authority. If you got the keys, you have authority. We have one key at our office that opens every door in the place, and there's only a very small handful of people that have that key. So that kind of says, well, they have more authority than other people who have some keys. So keys do represent authority. They represent power. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, that means to tie up and disable, whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now, I like the amplified version of this because that scripture is not saying I can go around and do whatever I want to. If you don't like something, get rid of it. If you do like it, call for it. Not that kind of authority. What we have is the authority to act in God's behalf on the earth. We have been given the name of Jesus because we represent Jesus. You know, occasionally I will tell somebody that's going somewhere to get something done, if you have any trouble, tell them you work for me. And that will open some doors. Not that I'm all that big of a thing, but got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of something. And so, you know, that whatever it is I got a little bit of something. And that will open some doors. But man, we have got something so much bigger than any person's name. We have got the name of Jesus on our side. And so we have the authority as God's representatives. I really wish that every believer would really get a deep revelation that they are Christ's representatives in the earth and that God is making his appeal to the world through us. We're it, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God needs and deserves to be glorified. And he has invested himself in us and given us his power and given us his name so we can come against any wicked, evil influence that tries to stop or hold back the growth of the kingdom of God. Boy, we need more education on who we are and what we're here for. If God didn't have a purpose for you and I, the moment we got saved, he would have just beamed us up and got us out of here. He left us here for a reason. And it's certainly not to just kind of try to drag ourselves through life, wait until we get to heaven and we can be blessed, looking for the good old glory days. We don't have the power and authority to do whatever we want to, but whatever heaven's will is, we can loose that here in the earth. And if what's going on in the earth is not heaven's will, then we can bind that on the earth and not allow it. Amen. Now, faith is required. And faith is something that God puts in all of us. Unto every man is given the measure of faith. So you have enough of the God kind of faith to do whatever God is asking you to do as your part in his plan and his economy. I have a gift of faith to do what I am doing. And God gives you enough faith to do what he wants you to do. If you have a special needs child, God will give you the faith to raise that child and to have a happy life in the midst of it. If you have a difficult marriage, but you know that God does not want you to give up on it, you have hope for change, then you have the faith, the power of God to be in that situation and be happy while you're there. I wasn't also easy to get along with the first 3-4 years Dave and I were married, but he had the faith. He knew that God could change me. And he didn't try to change me, nor did he let me make him unhappy. And that was big. Stop letting the people in your life that are miserable make you miserable. Come on. And you'll be a much greater witness and a testimony to them if you maintain a calm, peaceful joy. Don't just tell them about Jesus. Show them Jesus. I hope that all of you and everyone watching by TV today, that you can get it in your heart that you have enough faith and power to do whatever you need to do in life. So we need to get rid of the I can't word. From now on, it's I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. I can, not I can't. Now, I believe, and it doesn't say this in Scripture, but I believe, and I don't think I'm taking out of context to say that I believe that those keys that God has given us are various kinds of prayer. Boy, listen, church, we need to learn to pray our way through the day. And you got to lose your religious attitude about prayer if you're going to actually make prayer like breathing. Pray without ceasing. Well, how in the world can you do that? Prayer just becomes natural, like breathing. It's your first response to every situation. You don't do anything without asking for God's help. Everything that God gives you, you immediately thank Him and praise Him for it. There's different kinds of prayer that do different kinds of things. There's a prayer of petition where I can ask God for something that I need or want. There's prayers of intercession, which means I'm praying for someone else. There's prayers of surrender. Your will be done, not mine. I surrender myself to you. I cast my care on you. That's a prayer of commitment. I'm committing my situation to God. I commit this to you, God. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be upset about it. This is your deal. I trust you to solve it and fix it. You give it to God through that prayer of commitment. There's a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, and that should be a heavy part of our prayer life. Praise and thanksgiving should always outweigh petition. And there's no limit on what you can ask for, but if we just thank God for everything we already have. Because you see, the Bible says to pray with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Why should God give us something else if we're already murmuring about what we've got? We need to be thankful people. Then there's the prayer of agreement, and that means that two people who agree about everything. That doesn't mean that you can fight all week with your spouse and then need a miracle on Sunday and say, let's agree about this. Come on now. The Bible says, if any two of you on earth agree, and the Amplified Bible says, about anything and everything, whatever you ask, it shall be done for you. So if you have someone that you pray with, make it somebody you love. Make it somebody you're not talking about them behind their back. Make it somebody you admire and respect, and make it somebody that you get along with and live in agreement with. And boy, when the two of you come together and you lock hands and you pray. And then there is united prayer, like we had here last night, where the thousands of us agreed together about several things, and boy, is that exponentially powerful when we all pray together. I believe that prayer is the way that we interrupt Satan's plan. And actually, although prayer is sweet and peaceful and beautiful, I believe it's one of the most violent things that we do in the spirit. You don't have to shout to be violent. When you get in the spirit, you're just like, no, I resist you, I rebuke you, I don't believe that, you're a liar, get behind me. That's how you resist the enemy. When fear comes against you, you know the word, you open your mouth and say, I will not fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Faith is in us, but it must be released. You understand me? It's no good to say I'm a woman of faith or a man of faith if you're not releasing your faith. You have to release it. And I believe that we can release our faith in three ways: by praying, by saying, and by taking God-inspired action. By praying, by saying, the confession of your mouth is very powerful, or by taking God-inspired action. When you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're releasing your faith. You're believing that God's way is greater than your way, and you're going to follow Him and do what He says to do, even though maybe you don't quite understand it.